all of you guys for sticking around, and I'm going to choose to believe that you're here because you want to hear this talk, not because the bar is about to open. Second, I want to thank my co-authors. And third, I want to point out that although this is the management impact section, this is a non-management talk. So if you're expecting something else, you can wander back to the bar. So I want to talk about decomposition mostly in the mineral soil, but also on the surface. And we've done these decomposition studies in a lot of places using a standard wood substrate. And so these fires in 2000 and 2001 that burned huge hectares of the Northwest gave us an opportunity to look at, could we use this biological decomposition with wood stakes in a wildfire area and detect some differences? So these sites in the West had a huge buildup of organic matter. Dale Johnson gave a nice talk earlier today about the buildup of organic matter, what happens when these wildfires go through and what these sites look like. We were interested in organic matter decomposition because of its role in aggregate stability. We've talked a lot about this today. Aggregate stability, water holding capacity, nutrient cycling, and out in the West, disease prevention as well. And so organic matter is controlled by those same things that control tree growth. And so if we could get a handle on how decomposition had changed, we could also talk to land managers. This is my management part. We could also talk to land managers about how these catastrophic wildfires might affect below ground processes and what they could expect in the long term then about how trees would grow, what kind of vegetation they might expect to come back, and how it might function there. So Dale showed a picture just like this earlier today. Lots of dead trees, no surface organic matter, and some dead coarse woody debris that was charred on the soil surface. Not much organic matter left after these fires burned. So decomposition. There's a lot of ways to look at decomposition. Most people use litter bags. But the problem that we have with litter bags is that they're a short-term answer to the question, and we wanted to look at some long-term responses. Usually litter bags are also on the top of the soil, and we wanted to look at the mineral soil and see if we could look and determine that there were changes at the surface and at depth in the mineral soil. There's a reason that, and I can say this from experience, there's a reason nobody looks at the mineral soil for decomp. It's a lot of work. But we can do it anyway. Do I have a pointer? Yeah, there it is. So we use these wood stakes, and we always use aspen and southern pine. And that's the nice thing about it, is that if you have a standard substrate, you can compare site to site. So we looked, these stakes are 30 centimeters long, about 2.5 centimeters square. We placed them vertically in the mineral soil, and then we placed them on top of the mineral soil. So on the burn site, they were placed on top of the mineral soil. There was no organic matter to talk about. And then we also have some, if there's organic matter, we put them at this interface. And that'll be important later on. There'll be a quiz. Not really, but. So the study sites we looked at were two national forests in Montana. They were burned in the wildfires, and so we had burned and unburned. Those were our treatments. It's pretty basic. We inserted these aspen and pine stakes. The nice thing about these is that we piggybacked our study onto some work that the research project that looks at burned area emergency response. They were looking at paired watersheds and had weirs in. So you can see right here, there's a little weather station, so we could glom onto their weather data. We also had moisture and temperature sensors installed that were recording soil moisture and temperature every 4 hours for the 5 years that we were collecting data. Now, I should also mention that when we put these wood stakes in, we put enough in the ground that we can go back once a year, every 5 years, or depending on the climate, we could go back more often. But on these sites, once a year for 5 years, and we could collect these. We had five samples at each sample date, both pine and aspen, and two replications. So, like everybody else, I have to point out where we're at. In case you forget, here's Montana. These two sites that I mentioned before, one was on the Bitterroot National Forest at an elevation of about 1,700 meters, 355 millimeters of rainfall, and it was burned in 2000. And then over I keep losing my pointer. Over here on the Gallatin, our site was at about 1,900 meters, and we had about 450 millimeters of rainfall. So you can see that the Gallatin National Forest was 200 meters higher and 100 millimeters more precip. And I point this out because we had expected that these two things would change how decomp occurred. And the other thing that we thought would affect decomposition, you can tell what this is leading up to, was that the Bitterroot National Forest had a sandy skeletal soil. It was an inceptisol, not much profile development, not much organic matter in the mineral soil. And it was a mixed forest of Douglas fir and ponderosa pine. And on the Gallatin, we actually had a mollisol, and a forest soil mollisol. Can you believe it? I know. And it was a loamy skeletal, so a little bit finer textured. And it was predominantly ponderosa pine before it burned. This is a nice, I thought this was just so cool. So yeah, everybody wants to talk about what happened. But what I thought was really important about this study was what didn't happen. And what didn't happen was that, like I said, we had two fairly different forest soils in terms of productivity, soil moisture, and we didn't get any response in the mineral soil. So that's something to keep in mind. There were no differences in decomposition within the mineral soil. And on all of the other studies that we had looked at, we could detect, particularly if the soil was compacted, we could detect a change in decomposition with depth in the mineral soil. The nice thing for us was that we know how to pick subplots, and there was no significant difference in our subplots. So we patted ourselves on the back for that. So one of the things that really stands out in terms of what happened and why there were no differences in these two forest soils is the degree days for decomposition. And this is 2 degrees C for decomposition. At the bottom here, you can see that the control stand had about 207 days for decomp, and the burn stand had 189. And the nice thing is to look at this, the spread of temperatures. It's, you know, this burn plot, you know, crank along out here, still in December, it had enough soil moisture, or enough soil temperature to still be doing some decomp. But what's really interesting is if you look at the 10 degrees C for decomp, and you can see that we've effectively lengthened the time we have for decomp in the burn plots here in April, out here in October, and there were just a couple days out here. So whereas if you only look at 2 degrees C for decomposition, the control stand had a lot more days than the burn. But if you look at the 10 degrees C, you can see that we were actually had about 10, 15 days longer in the 10 degrees C decomp than we did in the 2 degrees C. So I think that's probably one of the things that was driving the differences between treatments that we saw, and that I'll talk about in a minute here again too. It's interesting to look at these decomp profiles. Not very many people tie decomposition to degree days, and so that was one of the things that we were able to tease out with the temperature and moisture sensors. The other interesting thing, these stands were on the same slope and aspect, really had no difference in soil moisture, so it really was temperature that was driving the decomp process. So now I can get to the significant effects. Extraction date, and I'll show you a graph of this in a second, highly significant and was something that we would expect. You know, decomp occurs, and it's like other things that happen. Treatments, yep, we could detect differences between burned and unburned treatments. And there were two interesting interactions. One was the extraction date with treatment, and I'll show you that graph. The other was depth with treatment, and the only reason that the depth and treatment interaction was significant is because on the Gallatin National Forest at 20 centimeters, so halfway down the stake, that was more decomposed than the surface or below that. And I think what happened was that at the Gallatin National Forest, we had a lot of erosion, and so what happened is the middle of the stake became the top of the stake, and the rest was exposed. So what you see on the y-axis is the arc sine square root proportion decomposed. It makes no difference what that y-axis is, if it's weight loss, if it's decomp, if it's the arc sine square root, the graph looks the same. So the stakes were put in 2002, so what you see here at 2003, not too much happened, and then all of a sudden between year two and year three, we get this huge increase in the burn plots for decomposition. And that continues all the way through. Although the lines become more parallel, the burn plots are much more decomposed than the control plots. And so, you know, so there's really not much else to say about those burn plots. But what's interesting is when you start to look at the surface. And so, like I said, so let me go back to this plot. This is both forests, both species, all combined together. Everything looks the same. But what's pretty interesting is what happens at the surface. So these treatments here, the red is the burned. So remember, that's right on the soil surface. And then the control is what's above the forest floor, and the control below is at that interface between the organic matter and the mineral soil. You can see the same thing. Not much goes on that first year. Stakes almost look like they're brand new, and then all of a sudden, fungi find it, and off they go. So this is the key one here, the interface between the forest floor and the mineral soil. That seems to be where everything happens. And so this is in the control forest. The same is true for aspen. That was pine. This is aspen. You know, as you might expect, aspen goes to town for decomp. But it's still this interface stakes that are doing all the decomposition. These other two just kind of crank along until their end here at 5 years. Not much weight loss. And then surface pine on the Bitterroot National Forest, like I said, these surface stakes seem to be the key spot for where decomposition occurs or doesn't. And so this is the interesting thing about comparing these two forests, is that not a lot of difference between these. Year four, they start to separate a little bit, but the burn plot starts to catch up here again at year five. So that's the nice thing about these long-term, using these wood stakes as a long-term measure of decomp, is that we can start to track over time what goes on and what doesn't go on. And interestingly, the aspen on the Bitterroot National Forest, it's the control stakes, or the burn stakes, I'm sorry, that are really doing the decomposition here on this plot. And I have no clue why. But we could talk about it over beer later if you'd like. So one of the problems, though, you know, I love to work with these wood stakes because they really are a nice long-term indice of what's going on below ground. But at any one sample date, as you can see, the wood stakes range from almost brand new to so decomposed we can hardly get them out. You know, sometimes we take them out of the ground, they're just falling apart because, and it's at the same sample date, the same species. And so it's just, you know, it's like if you were a fungus, you know, cruising through the soil, it's, you know, you hit the stake and you think, great, it's dinner. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the problem with using these wood stakes. But so you get highly variable results, so you have to have a lot of them in the ground to be able to make sense of it. So the nice thing is that we could make a few conclusions, though. Burn plots decompose faster than the unburned plots for the mineral soil. And it happens not at year one, but in between year two and year three. And so that was nice to be able to pick that up. After that first initial change in decomp, they both kind of proceed at the same rate. And, you know, it's really, the interesting part is those surface stakes that are kind of giving us mixed results on those two forests. And we're still teasing out the, is it temperature, is it moisture, is it just, you know, organic matter quality? And all of those samples are working their way through our lab right now. So, you know, stay tuned for cooler results. So I'm sure Mark mentioned that I was from Idaho. And they really are. I mean, potatoes are just huge in Idaho. But anyway, thank you. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Great. Let's have beer. Oh, no. No questions?
Sorry about it.
No. It's an Idaho potato. Yeah, David.
With these stakes, is it possible to cut them at different lengths if you plant them vertically and have a decay rate for the by depth?
Actually, there was a picture that they were separated, and so we get decomp at the surface, just below the mineral soil line, at 20 centimeters and at 30 centimeters. But in some cases, the soil is not 30 centimeters deep, and so, you know, we end up with stakes that are only 20 centimeters or, in some cases, only 10 centimeters deep. But, yeah, you can get that profile of decomposition downstake. Yeah, Darlene.
Have you considered taking these stakes and singeing them, burning them on the outside, and then weighing them and having them start putting them in and measuring the difference?
As a matter of fact, oh, thanks, yeah. As a matter of fact, you're so good. We on the school fire, which is in northeast Washington, and on the sleeper fire, which is in the upper peninsula of Michigan, we charred the stakes at three different temperatures, 350, 450, and 500, and then we put them back in the soil to look at decomp. But the processes are a lot slower, and so the ones that we have on the school fire were put in 2 years ago, and next summer will be our first sample of those. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Randy. Oh, what?
I'll look forward to that day.
Yeah, me too.
I missed the first part of your presentation. The stakes that are laying on the surface, are they in contact with the mineral soil?
Yes. They're either on top of the mineral soil, on top of the litter layer. So, if there's a litter layer, they're at the interface between those two. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.